Four lines down. So now we've established, or we've at least, at this point in time, we had a machlokus between Rav Chisto and Rabbo. Rav Chisto says that a koton has the ability to father children, whereas Rabbo believes that a koton ain't a molid. A koton's unable to father children. This is a very fundamental machlokus. And one of the ideas, one of the concepts that we use is the term ish. That ish will mean only an adult. That ish, the term ish refers to an adult. An adult is the only one who can father children. So Gemara is going to challenge that underlying assumption here, this assumption of Rabbah, that it's only adults that can father children. Eitve, abaye, ish, any other ish, right? I only have an ish included in the punishment here. Ben tet shanim v'yom echad sh'ro'oi l'biya minayin. How do I know that a child from 9 years old and older is also creates culpability, right? Because he can perform bia. Tamal Omar v'ish, right? So the term ish here is used not only to mean a person of age, over the age of bar mitzvah, but ish comes here to include anybody who is able to perform bia. Well, if they're able to perform bia, right, then maybe they should be able to father children as well, and that would be below the age of bar mitzvah and a challenge to Rabba's position. Samarlo, yeshlo, veino molit. It's not a problem, yes. He has the ability to perform bia. His bia is a real bia, but that still doesn't mean that he can inseminate, he can impregnate a woman. So he has a din of bia, but that he can't father children. It's exactly like tevuah that grows when it reaches a third of its maturity. At that point in time, you cannot replant its seeds to grow another, right? It's another grain, or grain can't be grown from those seeds. So even though it's growing, even though it is wheat, or even though it's a grain, it's still not able to reproduce itself yet. So over here, bia is a good bia. He just can't reproduce with that bia until he reaches the age of bar mitzvah. So over there it says, v'chi yazid ish, or go bi'arma. A person goes in intent, with intent, goes to kill. So it sounds from this, ish mezid umazria. So we're talking about that. An ish is able to be mezid. Over here we're going to use the term mezid to mean mature. A man can have intent, can mature, umazria, and can impregnate. Ben katan mezid umazria. Katan is not of that maturity, is not of that intent, and he can also not, mazria, he cannot impregnate. So again, the Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, my mashma time mezid lishna de bishulehu. How do you know that the word mezid means to mature, right, to reach a certain state of completion? The detective, Yazed Nakov Nazid. Right, that Yaakov is cooks up lentil. Now, right, mitzad lafshad, but Yazid here means, mezid means intent, right, means to be, but it might be that the two are not necessarily mutually exclusive. I mean, who can have that type of intent is someone who is mature. I mean, it might refer to a certain maturity. I mean, here it's obviously a person's killing with intent, but it means to have those types of thoughts. You can never assign to a child, you can't assign those types of intent. He can never reach that understanding or that depth of intent. That's why in courts of law, many times a minor is not tried, right? As a individual can have intent. He's not tried as an adult. Over here, to be tried as an adult, you have to reach an age of maturity to be able to have intent. But the same thing here with mezid here means to reach an age of maturity where it can also be mazria. Maturity and azra'ah, right, are hand in hand. Alright, so now we have, so far, we have the term ish by shifra rufa, and there the Gemara says the ear ish means that ish, not just a person of age, but even someone from 9 years and older already qualifies. But we say, okay, that's true for bia, that's not true for the ability to impregnate. And then we said that here, the word yazid that's used over here, that we're darshaning the word mezid to mean, as again, that as David pointed out, the Rashi says mezid instead of yarshia over here. So that helps to teach us that there's a certain association with mezid, and that's a maturity and the ability to impregnate is at that age. Now, v'ha tana debei Rabbi Shmuel ben v'loav. All right, so Rabbi Shmuel says that a ben sorer umore can only be a ben, a son, and not a father. Hey chidami, what's the case? So now what happened? He reached maturity. He reached the age of puberty. At two starot, and then he impregnates a woman, va'olid, and she gives birth, mekame delakaf zakan, and he then impregnates and has a baby, he becomes a father before he completes the time of ben sorer umore, which was, we saw in our Mishnah, between the time that he reaches puberty of two sarot until the time he reaches achi akifet agid, and until there's enough pubic hair that it covers over the it surrounds the member. Mi'ika shalut kulehai. Is there enough time for his wife to give birth? V'ha amar Rabbi Kruspadai, ko yamav shel ben sorer umore, inu elu gimel chodoshim. Bilvad. It's only 3 months long. The whole zman of a ben sorer umore is from the time he gets shtei sarot until yakifet agid is 3 months. He can't impregnate a woman and have the woman give birth within 3 months. Allah, the aber mikame, the light of shtei sarot. So what's the solution? Obviously, that she got pregnant before he reached to sarah, before he reached the age of puberty, valid mikami to the kaf zakan, and she gives birth before he reaches the age of termination of being a ben sarer, which is that yishakiva zakan shemamina katan valid. So again, this would be a problem for Rabbah, because based on the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, the only case you can come up where he's a father and can be a ben sarer more is if he was impregnated a woman before he became a gadol, before he became had shtei sarot. So Mar says, no. No, the olam di aber butter the aitish de sarot. No, she became impregnated after he reached the age of puberty. Valid butter the akiv zakan. And she gave birth after the time period which is the end of the ben sorer umer period. Or the kasha the Rabbi Kruspadai. What about Rabbi Kruspadai? Kiyatar of Dimi, Amram Reber Marava. This is the way to read Tanu Beishmael. Ben, velo haraui likroto av. Doesn't mean that he has to be called a father, but someone who is ra'ui to be called a father. Well, if somebody's ra'ui to be called a father, that's anybody. Anybody who has shtei sarot is ra'ui likroto av, because he can impregnate a woman. So what's different about this individual than any other individual? The answer is because of what's called hikara ubar, that the fact that the ubar becomes recognizable in the woman. We know that it takes 3 months, right? According to the third month, it becomes recognizable that a woman is pregnant. So now, when we say that he has to be ra'ui likroto av, it's not simply that he has the ability to impregnate a woman, therefore he could be called a father. No, he has to have impregnated a woman, and we have to know that he's impregnated, and we have to know that he's going to be a father, which is only when we're hukara ubar, which is within 3 months. So that will be the case here. Our exact case will be where he impregnates a woman as he reaches puberty, and then, right, whether he reaches, before he reaches the hikif zakan, that the time period where it will terminate ben sorer umer, within that 3 month period, his wife, it becomes obvious to his wife, is pregnant, and he's a ben sorer umer, he's not tried because he's an av velo a ben. So that's the Tana of the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, and that will solve our problem that he cannot, or at least we could still reconcile with Rabbah, who says a katan cannot be molid. So the kakash, the Rabbi said, the gufa. So I'm a Rabbi Kruspadai, let's figure out this Rabbi Kruspadai for 3 months. I'm a Rabbi Shabtai, Ko Yamav Shel Ben Sorer Umore, Eino Ela Gimel Chodoshim Bilvad. That the time period or the lifetime where you have a possibility of becoming a Ben Sorer Umore is only for 3 months. So what's that? We said that it's from our Mishnah. It tells us from the time of puberty to the time that he reaches, the pubic hair surrounds the member. So he keeps a kan, afagab to lo malu gimel chodoshim, malu gimel chodoshim, afagab to lo hikif. It's the earlier of 3 months, or the time period that it takes for the pubic hair to surround the member. So it's one of the two, but the earlier of the two, whichever comes first. If it's 3 months that comes first, then it terminates the time period where he could be a ben sorer umer. Or if he has the pubic hair surround his member, then also would terminate the period of time that is, he's classified as a ben sorer umer. Yotiv Rabbi Yaakov v'minar pakud kamei deravina v'yotiv kamar mishmei deravhuna brei deravishua. Shema mina mi Rabbi Kruspadai. We can conclude from Rabbi Kruspadai. Amar Rabbi Shabtai yoledet l'shiva enu ubra nikra l'shashlish yameha. So let's think about this. Normal duration of a pregnancy is 9 months. We say that the ubar becomes obvious that a woman is pregnant at the third month. That's one third through the period of time of her pregnancy. Now, we know the Gemara thinks that in many instances that a baby can be born at the seventh month. A baby is either born in the seventh, or there are two different pregnancies, either a 7 month pregnancy or a 9 month pregnancy. So if I was to take the ratio to the 7 month period, I would say, okay, if hukara ubar for 9 months is at the 3 month mark, then for a 7 month pregnancy, hukara ubar should be at the third, one third through that, which would be, right, two and one third months. So I should be able to see hukar ubar when I get reached the point of 2 1/3 months. De'isakadatcho ubra nikar l'shlish yameh. So then, if it's true that a woman who has a 7 month pregnancy would have her ubar be recognizable already at 2 1/3 months, lamali gimel. Why does a ben tzorer umoreh go up to 3 months? Right? Betray vitilta sagyo. With 2 1/3, it will be enough. I mean, the reason we said that a ben tzorer umoreh can extend up to 3 months is because if he impregnated a woman, and then we could see the ubar would be hukar when he reaches the point of 3 months. But if his wife, for instance, was going to have a 7 month pregnancy, then the ubar would already be hukar by 2 months and 1/3. He should already not be able to be a ben tzorer umoreh after 2 months and 1/3. Why does Rabbi Kusudai set it out as being 3 months?
Wait, so, I'm just a little confused. So he has shtei saros. Mm-hmm. And the period of ben tzorer umoreh lasts for 3 months. Why? In order to give us time to detect whether or not women in town.
No, because, not to give us the time, but that's the only period of time where you can only be a ben and not be ra'ui la'av. During that period of time, we know for certain he will not be karui la'av, that he'll be called a father, because we can never know that he impregnated a woman within those first 3 months. He will always be a ben during those 3 months. Right, so now, amalei l'olam, emalecha, ubra, nikra, l'shlish yameh. No. I can say to you, no. Enochanami, it is 1/3 of 7 months, she will see the ubar. Zilbataruba. So then we say, go after the rove. So you have two possibilities. Either you have to say, that's what the suggestion up front is, that whether the pregnancy is going to last for 9 months, or whether pregnancy is going to last for 7 months, hukar ubar only happens at the 3 month point, and that's when by ben tzorer umoreh goes up to 3 months. That's Rabbi Kubistai's opinion. Or, and this is the second answer, Enochanami, a woman who would last for 7 months, would have a duration of 7 months in her pregnancy, her ubar would be hukar when she reaches 2 1/3. So why do we say ben tzorer umoreh goes up to 3 months? I said, it's a zil bataruba. Rove women carry their babies for 9 months. So rove women carry their babies for 9 months. And hukar ubar for most people is going to be after 3 months. So we'll go after the rove. Amruah kameh derav huna, brei derav Yeshua, amrelei. Ubedinei nefashot, mi azlinan bataruba. When it comes to dinei nefashot, do we really go after the rove? Right, so Torah amra, v'shavtu eida, v'tzilu eida. Torah says that we should always look for a way to acquit somebody when it comes to capital crimes or capital punishment. We should look for a way out. Well, here's a way out. Why would you go after the rove? Better to go, not go after the rove, and do it, and be mikayim that vitzilu et aida, than go after the rove over here. Now, the question seems strange, because in Dinei Nefashot we do go after the rove. We're going to see cases now. And Tosfos asked this earlier in the Masechta, but the basic fact that we paskin alocha based on the rove, mean that you're going to put somebody to death. When it comes to a beis din, you're going to put him to death. It's based on the beis din, right, with a majority of two, but still using a majority to execute the person. I mean that we will reach a conclusion of the case if a majority of people say he's chayav. So it's clear there that we use a rove. All right, So why is it different? So Tosfos mentioned this earlier on in the Masechta, which is on Daf Gimel and Bet. Tosfos asks a little bit along these lines this question, but the Mefarshim discuss the difference or possible difference between Ruba de Ita de Kaman and Ruba de Leta de Kaman, right? That a robe that is in front of us and a robe that is not in front of us, because there the determinations are different. Where you have a rupa de ita the kaman, if you have a rove that's in front of us, right, versus a rove that is not in front of us, what's the difference? Right? In the rove that's not in front of us, our assumption is, or we're trying to be koveya, what the majority of, for instance, behemot. Talking about a behemah, when you check the behemah, majority of behemot are not trefot. So then you go ahead and check them in. We assume that the majority of behemot are not trefot. So you check them. Wait a minute. But there is a minority which are trefot. So you're trying to be, let's say, Ruba Deleta Kaman. We don't know. We don't have the robe in front of us. It's just a robe out in the world, and we assume that that's the case. But any robe, when you're looking out in the world, that robe has two sides to it. It has a robe and it has a miut, which means that the miut could be a possibility. Versus when you have a robe, Deita Lekaman, Ruba Deita Lekaman, you have to make a decision about an object that's sitting in front of you, right, and a robe that is here. Then a robe, Deita Lekaman, we say go after the robe, because the robe is koveya. We're not trying to be koveya. We're saying that the rov here is koveya. So, for instance, when they pass in the Beis Din has a rov of people that are saying that he's chayav, that's a ruba dita lekaman, right? And we know exactly what's happening here. In our case, we know that the rov applies because the rov is sitting in front of us and telling us that he's chayav. In cases where you talk about Ruba d'Alma is 9 months, and there's a miyut that are 7 months, we don't know the woman that's sitting in front of us, or the case that's sitting in front of us. We have no idea whether it's 3 months, or it's 2 1/3, meaning that's 7 or 9. We're just assuming that we picked it out of the robe, but that doesn't mean we don't know for sure that that's the case, that we got a robe in front of us. So many of the Farshim said that's what the Gemara's question is. The Gemara says, yes, by dinei nefashot, Ruba d'ita l'kaman, we paskin. The question is, when it's Ruba d'leta l'kaman, do we also paskin that way? So that's the theory. He says, wait, it didn't fashot. Who says that when it's Ruba Delecta the Kaman here with the 7 months and 9 months, do we pass him like that? So the first answer was yes, but then along comes, right, the question of the Gemara now, which says, wait, who says we say a Ruba by the case of Beis Din? So they took the case, Adru HaKameh to Ravina Malay, but didn't fashot lo azinim bat Aruba, even Ruba Delecta the Kaman, don't we go after Ruba? That's none. Echol mar b'shnai b'chodesh ve'echol mar gimel edutan kayemet. One person says that it's on the second of the month. One says it's the third of the month. That's when it happened. If you remember, Tosos back when we had this case earlier in the on Daf Mem says that they both agreed that it was the same day of the week. They both said it was Wednesday. One said it was this. One said that on Wednesday was the second of the month, and the other one said it was the third of the month on Wednesday. But at least they agreed that it's Wednesday, and that's why we say that it's okay. And we go but the roof. That what? We say that Edom Kayem because one knows about the Ibra, one doesn't. Let's say that they're being exact in their testimony. That we go after the Rov. Many people make this mistake when it comes to Ibra Chodesh. They don't know if it's a Malay or a Chaser. So since the majority of people make such a problem, we assume that these people came out of the majority. So here's a Ruba Delecta Kaman, and our assumption is that these people, because they used the same day, are premising on that robe. We're saying that their Eidus is not Mucheshet, and we're putting somebody to death based on their testimony. So you see, you do after the robe. We have another case of robe Delecta Kaman where we say the same thing, which is Bashla Shanim V'Yom Echad Mitkadesh B'Biyah. We just had this earlier, right, in the Masechta, that a girl who is 3 years and 1 day old can do certain things. First of all, she mitkadeshet bibia. She can perform, or she can be acquired in Kiddushim through bia, because she's now a bat bia. Now, the assumption, obviously, is that her father gave her over, Masara bia, her father gave her over to someone, l'shum Kiddushin. Then, because she doesn't have her own das, the mekabel to the kiddushin, but rather the bia is what creates a kiddushin with her father's acquiescence. Bimbala yabam kana, for yabam sleeps with her, then he's koneh her. Yichayvim ele mishum eshet ish. If someone sleeps with her, then she has a din of eshet ish, meaning that if she is married, then, or she has kiddushin here, so either somehow the kiddushin was created, then she is an eshet ish. Umetamed bo'alala metameh mishkaba tachton kel yon. Her nida now has a din of nida, in the sense that if you will bo'el her, you become a bo'el nida, and not simply a nogea b'nida. Right? The din of a nogea b'nida is that he's a rishon l'tumah. A bo'el nida becomes like a nida and has a din of an abba tumah, where he's mitame mishkab tachton ke elyon. He's mitame everything that's under him, like the elyono shel zav. That means anything he touches, right, or anything that's under him has a din of becoming tameh. So all the things that are under him will become tameh, as opposed to a nogea benida, who only things that he touches first of all become nida. And number two is that he can't make kelim tameh because he's already a rishon the tum'ah. All right, so that's v'nisei the kohen or chalav b'tumah. If she marries a kohen, she can eat truma, even though in general we say that whoever marries a kohen in the kiddushin, they don't get truma, but if they have nisuin, they are able to, right? They are able to eat truma. So over here also, since she is reached the point of bi'ah, anybody who doesn't have bi'ah, right, doesn't have chupa. So she has to reach the age of 3 in 1 day where she can have bi'ah, and therefore she can have chupa. If she has chupa, she can eat in the truma.
For
full-fledged. any one of the psulim that bi'ah with her are now pasla min akuhuna, because she becomes a quote-unquote zona. And ba'la achad mikol arayot amurot b'turah mumatim alayah b'hi b'turah, obviously she's patur because she's a minor, but anybody who sleeps with her, any of the arayot that sleep with her, will be chayavin, the punishment for that erva. V'amai. Why do we say that this is true? Ema ailoniti. There's a chance that this woman will be an ailonit. An elonit is a woman who cannot give birth, right? Who has the inability, she's missing the apparatus, right? The womb to give birth with. And therefore she can't give birth. And it's a mekach ta'ot. The kiddushim were premised on having a woman who can have children. And here's a mekach ta'ot because she's an elonit. But I did ach elo kaddish. And because if they had known that she was an elonit, they would never have kiddushim with her. Lav darmin and zil bataruva. Rov nashim lav elonit dinu. Since rov nashim are not elonit, therefore, over here, we're going to punish people for Eishadish. We're going to punish Arayot. All these dinim that apply to her are going to apply even for capital crimes. We're going to punish people based on the robe that move women are not Ailonit. Lo. Machayav alei adiktani korban. We're not talking about death sentences over here. We're talking about that they are chiyuv korban. By chiyuv korban, we'll go about the ruva. But to put them to death, no. My says, wait a minute. The price is said explicitly. Because it says, in ba'alei achad mikol arayot amurot b'torah mumatim alei. Says it explicitly, I'm going to take my yadaktani. I mean, it says that they're going to be put to death based on her. They're going to execute them based on that. So, ba'ale avia. That's a case where her father slept with her. Because when her father sleeps with her, it's not a problem of ish, it's a problem of direct kurvav, erva. Baha, the bracelet still says, in ba'ale achad mikol arayot ktani. It doesn't say her father, it says any one of the arayot. That case is a case where he's mekabel on himself. He says that I'm mekabel. Even if she's an ailonit, I want to have kiddushin with her, I want to keep her. So there's no out anymore. So here you can't say, you don't say bataruba, because they got rid of the problem, mekotos, by saying that he's mekabel her, even if she's an ailonit. Now true, the Gemara only answered for this part, meaning that the second proof, that we go after bataruba by a case of this ktana, this 3-year-old and 1-day girl, right there we said, azlin bataruba, the Gemara rejected and said it's mekabel eloi. But the first proof we brought about the dates of the month, about it being 2 dates of the month, we go bataruba, that we did not undermine, and that still stands. So now you have one source that says, right, we don't go after the rove, which is v'yitzilu aida, and the other source that says we do have to go after the rove, which is this the months of the, you know, based on the month, the date of the month, that we say that ruba, people don't know that it's the ibra chodesh, and therefore we say that even in capital cases, we go bataruba. So we have one on each side. Tana banan. Amisulelet bibna katan, a woman who was rolling around with her young son. Right, amisulelet in general is a negative term. I think even in modern day Hebrew today we use it. It's a negative term. But here Rashi says it's lashon pritzut. And they were in the bed together. They weren't dressed, and they were rolling around. And sure enough, v'heraba, her young son doesn't necessarily be with intent, but he ended up having hera, that his member went. Again, hara is subject to a machlokas in the Gemara and other places, which is whether it means nishikat, whether the member just touched that area, the otomakom of the isha, or achnasat hatara, right, the tip went in. So either way, whatever that hara is, that's what happened to her. She's now pasul min akuna. There's an erva that had bia, hara with the mother. Everybody agrees. Even Hillel would agree that when it comes to 9 years in 1 day, that it's pasla min akuna. Less than 8 years, everybody agrees it's not bia. So above 9, good bia would be poseler. Below not 8, everybody agrees that there's no such thing as bia. In the 8th year, what's the din? Beit Shammai, Savri Garmina Midorot HaRishonim. We learn from the earlier generations that were able to impregnate at 8 years old. Beit El Savri Garmina Midorot HaRishonim. We don't learn now from the earlier generations that they were able to impregnate at 8 years old, and therefore we don't assume that an 8-year-old has a din of Bi'ah. This is what Tosos quoted yesterday. I mentioned this at the end of yesterday's daf. That Tosos quotes, wait a minute, based on this, it sounds like that you can have a child impregnate, right, even as a minor. And here they said in the earlier generations they give birth at 8. So here you have a katan who's giving birth. So Tosfos over there answered that no, not only did they give birth, they could impregnate at 8 years old, their puberty was also earlier. It's not that they were separated, that they still had puberty at 13, but they were able to impregnate as a katan at 8 years old. No. Their whole maturity was accelerated. So that not only did they, when they impregnated at 8, they also had were at the age of puberty at that point in time. They had shtei sarot already. So that doesn't undermine Rabba's position that a katan can't be molid, because these weren't katanim anymore. They had shtei sarot, and that's why they would be molid at 8 years old. Now the Gemara wants to know, but darat rishon min alim dolid. So now we're going to have 3 attempts at proving that the earlier generations gave birth at 8 years old. Right now, in each of these, the Chazal are making one assumption, the pshat, that make the whole case come together. I'll show you each time where that assumption is. Obviously, the way to undo their proof is to say that the connection that they make is improper. It says here, when David HaMelech looks out and he sees the woman, he sees Bathsheba. Alo zot Bathsheba bat Eliam, eshet Uriah Chiti. That woman over there, it must be, he inquired about who the woman was. It's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah Chiti. Uchtiv, and it says later on at the end of Shmuel, it says about the Divrei Achronim Shel David HaMelech. It says Eliam ben Achitofel haGiloni. Eliam was the son of Achitofel haGiloni. Now here is the assumption of the Gemara that the Eliam, who's the son of Achitofel, is also the father of the same Eliam, who's the father of Bathsheba. The Navi never makes that connection. Chazal are saying, well, Eliam over here, Eliam over there, they're the same Eliam. That means that Bathsheba is the granddaughter of Achitofel, according to this. Uchtiv, Vayishlach b'yad Natan Navi, Vayikra et Shmo Yedidya, Bavur Hashem. So then, when David HaMelech has a first child with Bathsheba, that child dies. He has a second child with Bathsheba, who is Shlomo HaMelech, and Natan HaNavi comes over and says that he's called Yedidya. That's the Kedai. Now, Uchtiv. After this, you have the incident of Avshalom, and it says, Vayihi l'shnatayim yamim, vayu gozizim l'Avshalom. You have the incident of Amnon and Tamar, where Amnon rapes Tamar. Avshalom is Tamar's brother, and Avshalom wants to take revenge on Amnon. So it said 2 years later, after this incident, right, then they were gozizim l'Avshalom. Avshalom is gozizim, no? And over there he kills Amnon. At that point in time, he invites Amnon to come along and he kills Amnon. David HaMelech is angry at him, and Avshalom took off. Ktiv, Avshalom barach, v'yilech shura. Avshalom runs away and he goes to Geshur, v'yisham shloshanim, and he's there for 3 years. And he hangs out in Geshur because David banished him. Ktiv. And then it says, then Yoav has this ploy where he gets this woman to come and convince David HaMelech to bring back Avshalom. It says, v'yishav Avshalom b'yishalayim shnatayim yamim. That Absalom is inside of Yerushalayim for 2 years, Upnei HaMelech lo ra'ah, and he never saw the king. Uchtiv, and we'll see in a second, Vayim Miketz Arbim Shana, V'yom Absalom El HaMelech El Chana, V'eshalem Et Nidri, Asher Nadarti L'Hashem B'Chevron, which is the beginning of the merit of Absalom. So I'm just going to lay you out for this. We have the story of Bathsheba and David. Shlomo HaMelech is born, right, out of that union between Bathsheba and David. Now, with Bathsheba and David, immediately after you have this story of Amnon and Tamar, the story of Amnon and Tamar is then followed with a 2-year hiatus in which Absalom waits to kill Amnon, and then after 2 years he kills Amnon. Then David banishes him, and he goes away and lives in Geshur for 3 years. After that, Yoav convinces or helps to convince David to bring Absalom back. Absalom's back to Yerushalayim, but David will not speak to him. So he's in Yerushalayim for how long? 2 years. That means that by the time Absalom rebels against David and creates the civil war, Shlomo HaMelech is 7 years old. It's 7 years after. He's a minimum of 7 years, but let's say he's a minimum of 7 years old, because that's the amount of time that the stories of Absalom have taken place. And then Vayibar Arba'im Shana, Arba'im Shana is the 40th year since they've asked for a king. Absalom asks David HaMelech to go. He tries to win back and says, I'm better off being in Geshur than being here. I want to see Pnei HaMelech. Then they reconcile, and then he goes out and he goes to say, I got to cut my hair and do my karbonot in Hebron. And then he starts to convince the people. He goes out there and says to, you know, foment the rebellion, which becomes the merit of Shalom. So that's at the 7th year. That's merit of Shalom. And we know in merit of Shalom, who becomes the advisor to Avshalom? The advisor of Shalom is Achitofel. Achitofel tries to give advice, and Avshalom takes advice from one of David's planted spies instead of from Achitofel. And since he takes the advice, Achitofel realizes that he's going to lose. Avshalom's going to lose now because he didn't listen to Achitofel, because whatever Achitofel says comes true. So he knows if Avshalom doesn't listen to Achitofel, the war is gone. The civil war is gone. So what does Achitofel do when he doesn't listen to him? Heads home and hangs himself. So that's what the next pasuk is. Achitov ra kilo nasta atzeto vayachavosh et charmor vayokom vayelo achel beito. Says that they're not going to listen to what he had to say. Then he goes back. He gives instructions to his family and he hangs himself, chokes himself. And we know, people, evil people, do not live more than half their years. Now, what's the normal lifespan of an individual? The normal lifespan of an individual is 70 years. So half their lifetime would be 35. So they will not reach the age of 35. Dueg Edomi was also another evil person, only reached 34, because he won't reach the half life of a normal person, because he's a Rasha. So he got to 34. And Achitofel is 33 years. Where does the price to get 33 years? It's difficult. 34, you can explain, means that he won't reach his half year, so it goes 1 year before that. Where do they get 33? So there are those that explain that 33 comes from the fact that Achitofel committed suicide. I mean, that naturally he won't get to 35 years, that would have been 34. But if he committed suicide, it must be at least a year before he would have naturally died, at least. I mean, so at the minimum, he's 33 years old. So now you have Achitofel, who is 33 years old when he dies, and he has a granddaughter named Batsheva, who has a great grandchild that's already 7 years old by the time he commits suicide. Right? So 33 minus 7 is 26. That means when Batsheva already is giving birth to Shlomo HaMelech, he is 26 years old. Achitofel is 26 years old. So now you have to get the generations down. We're going to do in a second the calculation that Gemara is going to do it. If I'm 26 years old, that means that Achitofel has to be old enough to father Eliam. Eliam has to be old enough to father Batsheva, and Batsheva has to be old enough to mother Shlomo HaMelech. So you have three individuals who all now are parents, are parenting children. So now, how old are they? If you take 26 and divide it by 3, that's 8, right? Plus a little more. Well, the little more, as we're going to point out now, has to do with the pregnancy. You need time for the pregnancy, the duration of the pregnancy. So that's what the Gemara says right now. Come, Abielu. Tzlatin v'tzlat. We have 33 years of the duration of Achitofel's life. Dal Sheva, Dav Shlomo. Take away 7 years, which is the age of Shlomo, when Achitofel commits suicide at the time of marriage of Shalom. Pashlo Esrim v'shit. You have left over 26. Dal Tarte Shane, the Tzlate Ibure. You have to take off another 2 years for the three pregnancies. Now, how long are the three pregnancies? Rashi claims that the three pregnancies are each one is 7 months long. 7 months long, plus you have one additional month for Tumah Tahara that they have to wait after the time that they become Nidot. You have to wait 1 month before they become pregnant. That gives you 8 months. So 8 months times three is 24 months. It's 2 years. Tosus takes issue with this and says, first of all, what are you talking about? Tumah Tahara? Right? We're talking about Tumah Tahara, and we're going to see in a second, we're going to deal with other cases here that we don't even need Tumah Tahara, not even relevant, because it was before Matan Torah. Number one. Number two is we know that a woman can be with her husband after 7 days for a male, 14 days for a female. There are those that just say that physically a woman can't become pregnant for another month. And that's what Rashi is discussing over here, that even though they're mutar to be with her husband, she just won't become pregnant until that cycle's over. But it be as it may, Tosa just says it's 7 month pregnancies times three gets you 21 months, and the little dot that it's 8 years and 1 month, they leave out the extra month. So the 3 months extra, they don't worry about. Each one of them gave birth at 8. Achitofel was 8, he gave birth to Eliam. Eliam was 8, he gave birth to Batsheva. Batsheva was 8, she gives birth to Shlomo Melech.
Why do you have to make an even division?
All right, if you make it uneven, it's even worse. If you make it uneven, that means that somebody gave birth less than 8 years old. At least in this case, it's, you know, we got to at least 8. So, but the Mara's going to do exactly what you just said. Mimai. Dilmatar Vayu B'teish Olid. Maybe they both gave birth at 9. Ubatsheva Olida B'shit. Exactly what you were just suggesting. And Batsheva is going to give birth at 6. Mishum de itta baryo. The woman is more mature. The maturity of a woman happens before the maturity of a man. So the fact that Batsheva gave birth at 6 is fine, meaning that a man can only give birth father at the age of 9, like what you were suggesting, but a woman can do it at the age of 6. Now it's only applicable to men and women. Men can't do it, but women can. And the proof to that is the fact that Teda Davi Havilad Mikara. This is Batsheva's second child. Shlomo is Batsheva's second child, not her first child, because she already had the child that passed away. So this is already her second child. Elah HaMe'ocha. So there, we don't have any proof from there. Elah HaMe'ocha. Let's get the proof from here. Ela Toldot Terach. These are the children of Terach. Terach Olid et Avram, et Nachor, et Haran. You have three children. And so now, at minimum, if you follow what the pasuk says, and you say Avraham gadol minachor shana, Avraham's at least a year older than Nachor, v'Nachor gadol miharan shana, and Nachor is older than Haran shana. That means nimtza Avraham gadol shtei shanim miharan. Avraham's 2 years older than Haran. Uchti. Avraham Nachor doyim nashim. Avraham Nachor married themselves women. Who are the two women? Sarai and Milcah. Those are the two women that they marry. Sarai and Milcah. Then the pasuk says that Haran has two children. Haran is the father of Lot. He's the father of Milcah. And he's also the father of Yitzchak. So now the underlying assumption of the Gemara is that Yitzchak, Yitzchak, Zusara. Yitzchak and Sarah are synonymous. They're two, they're the same person. So again, in Pshat and Psukim, you don't need to, if you wanted to undermine this assumption of Chazal, you just say that Yitzchak is not Sarah. And Sarai is not the daughter of Haran. There's Sarai and there's Yitzchak. They're two different people. But now the Gemara equates them. Because of that, now it has an issue. So why is she called Sukkah? She's Socha Beruach HaKodesh. Because she was right embraced or encapsulated with the Ruach HaKodesh. That's what it says later on. When the with the Girush Yishmael, Hashem says to Avram, "Kol Asher Tomar Lecha Sarah, Shema Bekola." Listen to Sarah because she has Ruach HaKodesh, she has Nevuah. Tavaracha iskash kol sochin biyofya. Everybody enjoys or everybody gets the benefit of her beauty. Uchtev vayipol al panav. Right, it says later on that Avram vayipol Avram al panav vayitzchak vayomer b'libo says, oh, how could I give birth and how could Sarah give birth? Right, kama kashish Avram misarah. How much older is Avram misarah? Esar shanim. Right, he gets the news at 99 when Sarah is 89. Right, they have a child when they are 100 and Sarah's 90. There's a 10-year gap between them. Because shish me'avua tartin shnin. And he's older than her father by 2 years. So eshtekach yolda haran l'sarah betamne yolida. Right, that shows you that what? When Haran gave birth to Sarah, he was 8 years old. Avram is 10 years older than Sarah. And his younger brother by 2 years is the father of Sarah. So that means that Haran gave birth to Sarah when he was 8 years old. If Avram's 10 when Sarah's born, then Haran's younger brother is 8. And Sarah's born. So you see that Haran gave birth at 8 years old. So Gemara here has a different answer. She says, Haran Sarah, betamne olida mimai. Dilma Avram zukta da'achuava. Maybe Avram was the youngest of the brothers. V'derech hachmatan kachashivu. And the pasuk is just ordering them in their chashivut. In the order of their chokhmah, Avraham, right, then Nachor, and then Haran. But that's not their age order. So it's not listing an age order, but rather derech chokhmah teida, the chachashiv leukra, derech chokhmatan. I can prove that you, dichti, v'yilu Noach ben 500 shana, Noach gives birth at 500 years old. V'yilu Noach et Shem et Chom et Yofet. And his three children are Shem, Chom, and Yofet. Shem gadol micham shana, if that's the way you want to read it, then Shem would be older than Cham by a year. V'cham gadol miyefet shana. This is Shem gadol miyefet shtei shanim. That means that Shem is 2 years older than Yefet. That's true. Tiv Noach ben 600 shana, v'amu b'haya mayim al aretz. That Noach was 600 years old when the Mabul came. Uchtiv, it says, Eile todot Shem, Shem ben me'a shana. Shem was 100 years old, v'yolet ha'pachshad shnatayim achar ha'mabul. And he has his first child, the Pachshad, 2 years after the Mabul. Ben Me'ashana, he wasn't 100 years old 2 years after the Mabul. Bar Me'avetartin Shninava, he would have been 102. Why? If Lot's first child was born at 500 years old, when Noach's 500 years old, and then Noach is 600 when the Mabul happens, that means his first child when the Mabul happens is 100 years old. So 2 years after the Mabul, the oldest child is 102. So if Shem is the oldest child, he would have been 102, and the Pasuk calls him 100. So it must be that he's not the oldest, even though he's listed first. It's in the order of their chokhmah. So to over by Avram, Nachor and Haran, that's not their age order, it is their chokhmatan. Tosus makes one hara here. Well, Shem, Cham, and Yofet, it makes sense that Shem comes before everybody, their chokhmah, but what do you do with Cham? Shem, Cham, and Yofet, it should be Shem, Yefen, and Cham. Right? Cham is obviously the lowest on the ladder here. That's what Tosfos' hara is. Obviously, you have to say maybe that's not the case. That Cham was smarter than Yefet. Just sometimes that smarts aren't used the right way. But either way, the Gemara now is saying that the order that they are described in the Torah, it does not necessarily mean that that's their age order. We actually had this in Baba Basra with Yerusha. We had the Benot Slavchad. The Benot Slavchad are given in their orders, given twice, and their names are in a different order. And the Gemara says in one place it's Derech Tulatan, one place it's their age order. Excuse me. And in one area, It is derech chokh matan. Right? So we said the Torah has this giving things in age order. Alright, so again, we lost our proof here. So maybe I still have no proof that the Rota Rishonim gave birth at 8 years old. Alright, we're on to our third proof, and this one hopefully will be successful. I'm Rav Kahana, I'm Rita Lishmaita Kameda Rav Zvid, Minardar, Malay, Atun Mihochem Anidu. You learn it from there. Anan Mihochem Anidu, we learn it from here. Ulashem Yulad Gamhu, Avi Kol Bnei Ever, Achi Yefet Hagadol. So over there, the pasuk says, Shem gave birth to Kol Bnei Ever. So this is a continuation of how do we know that Shem is not the oldest brother? Because it says that Shem gave birth, and he is Avi Kol Bnei Ever, the father of all those that are Ever, Achi Yefet Hagadol. Right now, Achi, the brother of Yefet HaGadol. Yefet HaGadol Shbachi Baba. Yefet was the oldest of the brothers. So you see that Yefet was older than him, even though the pasuk is ambiguous. It's a dangling modifier here, which is Achi Yefet HaGadol. It's not clear if that means that he is the older brother of Yefet, or Yefet is the older brother of Shem. Here the Gemara is clearly reading the pasuk as meaning that Yefet is the older brother. And therefore, you don't have to do this 100 and 102 thing. Just I can show you that the pasuk says that Yefet's the older brother, even though Shem is mentioned first. So again, you have no proof from here. Now the Gemara goes to the last attempt. Elaminolon, how do we know it's 8 years old? Mihocha, from here. Ubtzalel ben Uri ben Chor mate Yehuda. Ubtzalel, who puts together the Mishkan, is the grandson of Chor. Ketiv, Vatamat Azuva. Right, Azuva passes away. Vayikach lo Kalev et Ephrat. Azuva was married to Kalev. He loses a Kalev and he marries Ephrat. Vatalei lo et Chor. And his son is Chor. So now that son of Chor is born. The Gemara, we learned this together. The Gemara says Ephrat is Miriam. Kalev and Miriam have a child named Chor. Chor has a child named Uri. And Uri has a child named Bitzalel. So now, obviously, the Gemara's assumption here is that the Chor that's mentioned as the child of Kalev and Ephrat is the same Chor of Bitzalel ben Uri ben Chor. V'chi avad Bitzalel Mishkan bar kama avi. When Bitzalel built the Mishkan, how old was he? Bar tleiser, he had to be 13 years old. Ish mimlachto asher him osim. It calls him an ish. Matanya goes up a price. Shana Rishona Asash Moshe Mishkan. In the first year that they left, they built the Mishkan. Shni Aikim Mishkan. In the second year, they were making the Mishkan. Bishalach Miraglim. And the Miraglim were sent. Ichtiv. It says in Yoshua, Ben Arim Shana Anochi, Bishalach Moshe Avded Hashem. Kalev says, when he's in conquering Hebron, he's going back to go conquer Hebron, he says, I was 40 years old when Moshe sent me as one of the Miraglim. Today I'm 85 years old. So Kama Aveluhu. So how many years is that? Arbaim. So he was 40 years old when he was sent as one of the Miraglim. Dala Besar Davi Bitzalel. How old is Bitzalel when they send the Miraglim? He's 14 years old. He was 13 when they built the Mishkan. That was in the first year. The Miraglim were sent in the second year, so Bitzalel is already 14 years old at that time. So if I have a 40-year-old Kalev who is sending and Bitzalel is 14 years old, Pashalu Esrim Bishit. That means that Kalev is 26 at the time of the birth of Bitzalel. Now Kalev is the great-grandfather of Bitzalel. Dal tarte shani detlate ibure. You have to take away 2 years for the three pregnancies. That's what we did before. You see that each one of them gave birth at 8 years old. That means that Kalev is 8 years old when he gives birth to Chor. Chor is 8 years old when he gives birth to Uri. And Uri is 8 years old when he gives birth to Bitzalel. And that's how you get it, that Bitzalel is 13 years old when he builds the Mishkan, because his great-grandfather Kalev is 40 years old at the time that he is sent as a Meragel, or 39 when he builds the Mishkan. So based on that, we show that the earlier generations gave birth at 8 years old. Again, the assumption is that the Chur is the same Chur over here, and because of that, the Gemara says that you have 8 year old giving birth. Ben velo bat. Our Mishnah says that a ben sorer umere only can be a ben and not a bat. Tanya Rav Shimon ben Din shei bat ruyalich yol to a ben sorer umere. It makes sense that a daughter should also have a din of ben sorer umere, because it's even worse. Shakol mitzui metzla ba'aveira. When it's a son, when it's a man, he's going to go and he's going to theft, he's going to be a marauder, he's going to be melastim et abriot. But when it comes to a woman, she can drag in other people to her aveira when she's a bat sorer umere. She's going to try to, how does a woman make money? She's going to become a prostitute and she's going to cause others to sin. Alexerata katuvu ben velo bat. Even though it's a logical argument to say that a woman should be, nevertheless, because of Zeresa Katuva, Ben Velo Bat, a Bat does not become a Bat Sorer Umare. There is no such concept. Okay, we'll stop over here.